All right. Amen. Good morning. I'm glad everybody made it. Got the time change thing figured out. So if you would, look at verse number 1. Judges chapter 8, look at verse number 1. It says this, "And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou calledest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply." So here's the situation where Gideon is on a mission from the Lord to do battle with few men instead of a lot of men. And the whole point of that we'll talk about in a moment is basically so that the children of Israel can't say, we saved ourselves because we have a lot of people, right? Then you have the Ephraimites, who are by nature just a large tribe, and they're upset. They're angry because Gideon didn't call them at the first, right? So they're taking this whole situation personally, and that's what I'm preaching about this morning. The title of my sermon is How Not to Take Things Personally. How not to take things personally. And by that I mean, you know, being defensive all the time. You know, we shouldn't be a people that are just easily offended at every turn, every time somebody says something, every time somebody makes a decision and stuff like that. And you're going to see as we go through this, there is another side of this coin. There is a time to be offended. You know, the Bible says there's a time for war, a time for peace, a time for love, and yes, a time for hate. Well, there's also a time to be offended. But as you already know, it's got to be about the right things. Now, the reason why we need to be aware of this is because when we develop the habit of taking everything personally and we become defensive and you just basically get stuck in that rut in life, what winds up happening is you start to have trouble in your relationships, you start to have trouble in your marriages, making friends, you know, you start to miss out on opportunities. And I mean, there's just all sorts of issues. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been the type of person that's taken things personally before. Okay. So a lot of you already know this, but we take care of my dad who has Alzheimer's and dementia. And you know, that disease just makes you say all sorts of stuff, all sorts of crazy things. And even though we know that he has this and he's in the final stages, you know, he'll say the craziest things and my blood just boils. I mean, I have to really fight with myself not to get offended, you know, and this, we're going on almost 2 years now having this guy live with us, and almost everybody in the house has gotten to the breaking point where, you know, like, we're just done with you, you know. But why is that so hard? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, another one that often gets me is, you know, when I first started this church, I figured I was the kind of person, you know, I don't take things that personally, but actually starting a church kind of let me know that I do still have this problem. I do still take things personally. And for those of you that don't know this, when we started this church, there were a lot of people in this church that had bad intentions. They literally came in here for the sole purpose to destroy what we were doing. And that was found out later on as time progressed. But some of the things that they would do, just the, you know, the arms crossed and just the dirty glares, you know, it speaks volumes. And that used to get to me. I'd be like, what? You don't like the way I preach? You don't like the way we run this church? You know, sometimes I'd go home and I would talk about this with Jessica and it would just be like, man, you know, you're just taking this stuff personally. You know, I had to learn, you know, it's not me, it's they have the problem, right? And so we're going to talk about that here in a moment. But just to give yourself a test to see if you're the type of person that maybe you're stuck in this rut, you do take things personally. How about this? Say you're walking somewhere. You see two people having a conversation and all of a sudden they stop, they look at you and both of them start laughing at you. If you get offended, you have a problem with this, right? Because you don't really know what they were saying. You don't really know if they were laughing at you, right? Now, sometimes they are, right? Sometimes they definitely are, but you don't know that in that scenario, right? And so if that's you, it's, you know, that's what we're going to talk about. Or how about this? You invite somebody to go somewhere, right? You want to hang out with a friend or you invite some people over for dinner and they say, you know what? We're busy. You know, would love to, we need to get together. And then a couple hours later, you see them on social media having a great old time with other people, right? Do you get offended by that? Well, guess what? You know, I'm going to show you this morning how to not take stuff like that personally. We've had people, you know, in this church, some of the ones I was talking about earlier, they would constantly go around to people and, you know, make plans, right? They'd be like, hey, how about you come over to my house for dinner this Friday? And, you know, get people all excited. Wow, man, you know, this person's turning around. They're opening up. They're coming out of their shell. They're wanting a fellowship. And then all of a sudden, Thursday night comes around and they call and they, you know what, on second thought, something came up. Right? And this pattern happens over and over and over and over again. How do you deal with that? Mike's shaking his head because he knows who I'm talking about. And by the way, Mike's somebody, you know, that I've been making fun of for like 2 years now, and he still sits back there, watches the door. You know, he's not getting offended and leaving the church. He's just hanging out back there, right? And so we can all learn from that. Now, this morning, I was going to pick up Stephen, you know, and I was kind of just thinking about the sermon, because that's what you do when you're a pastor. And I'm driving downtown Boise, and this car is behind me, no joke, and starts getting real close to me and starts swerving back and forth, you know, and I look at the speed limit sign, it's 35, and obviously this guy wants to get around me. And guess what happens? My blood starts to boil, and I'm about to open my mouth and say, boy, this guy's really got a problem. And then I realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm preaching this sermon this morning. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. So look, we all struggle with this, some of us more than others. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could learn what the Bible says on how not to take things personally and what that could actually do for us as a church? And look, I'm not saying we have a problem here. Most people in here don't take things personally. I mean, just go back and look at our YouTube history, okay? You see, most people, if you're here this morning, chances are you don't struggle with this that much. But you know what? This thing can creep up, you know, because it all starts with a root of bitterness that you just leave unchecked. Next thing you know, you're upset. And that becomes a habit to you, and all of a sudden, now we have a problem, okay? And so I want to give you this thought this morning, and that's this. People are easily offended, or people that are easily offended, they can't be trusted, and they can't control their tempers. I'm serious, right? For example, last week I preached against Briley, and I used him for the whole sermon, so I'll do Marissa this time. So I'm just kidding, but they brought some guests about a year ago, right? Some family members to church. And we had the chairs organized a little bit differently then. And they brought their family. You know, they're trying to witness to these people. They're trying to, you know, be a blessing to them and get them saved. And they come in here and they sit down in a chair. Well, we used to have this family that came here that thought they were entitled, very snooty. Okay, and they walk over and they're like this. What do you say to that? They were literally offended that somebody that's new was sitting in the seat that they always sit in. You know, and that's going back to grade school. You know, I used to ride the bus, and you know, certain kids always have their seat, and if you sit in there, it's going to be a problem. Well, they brought that mentality inside of this church. You know, that's ridiculous. And hey, praise God that those people are gone. Now, obviously, we prayed that they would just get right and not act like that. You know, but what does that say to our guests? Oh, that this is not a friendly, welcoming place, right? We don't need that. And so if you think about, those of you who know who I'm talking about, if you think about those people, are they someone that you could call upon? Could you call upon them and say, hey, I'm going through this issue, could you pray for me? No, they would say, oh, you're probably just saying that because you got a problem with me. You want me to pray for you? You're really just insinuating that you should be praying for me. Right? They would always flip what you tell them or ask them or need from them around and put that on you. You couldn't trust them, and they were always getting angry, always sitting in that back corner over there, arms crossed. And, you know, I could never figure this out. It's like, why do you come here? If you don't like, look, the door swings both ways. It's perfectly fine if you don't come back if you don't like it. There's like 500,000 churches in the Treasure Valley. You do not have to come here if you don't like it. It's that simple, okay? Look, it's crazy, but that's how a lot of these people are. They just can't get over the bitterness and the anger. So let's start talking about this situation here, back to Judges chapter 8. So we're talking about Gideon here. Gideon, a very famous character. If you grew up going to church, you went to Sunday school, you've definitely heard about Gideon. Now, before we read verse number 1 again, I'll just give you a little bit of history here from chapter number 7. We've studied Judges a couple years ago, and God gives this test or this challenge to Gideon, okay? He's got a large amount of people following him. He's got kind of a big army at this point in time. They're under oppression from the Midianites. And God says to Gideon, hey, I know that everybody's faint, everybody's weary, everybody's tired, okay? So what I want to do is I'm going to bring you guys to a point to where you're going to go down to this body of water. And he says to Gideon, everybody who just goes down to the water and drinks the water like this, basically just puts their face to it and just starts sucking it up, right? He's like, we don't want to put them in the army. So he says, but everybody who scoops the water up and laps it out of their hands, he's like, those are going to be the ones that we pick. They will go with you to battle. And the whole reason that God does that is because obviously these guys are faint. These guys are weary. The people that just run to the water and just suck it up, right? They're not being vigilant. They're not being careful. But yet the people that go down to the body of water, they scoop it up with their hands and they drink it, right? They're in a perfect position to actually see what's going on, and they're still being vigilant even though they're tired. And God says, hey, that's going to be the few, and those are going to be the ones that I send with you to battle. Because remember, God doesn't want the children of Israel to get prideful. He doesn't want them to say, hey, we saved ourselves. And so in the process of time, you know, Gideon goes and finds all the people that just lapped the water that were vigilant. He takes those people, and then he gets a couple other signs confirming, hey, God's going to be with you. Now you're going to go down and you're going to smite the Midianites. You're going to actually rescue Israel. And so that happens. They go down there. They start to fight the Midianites. And after the battle starts, Gideon sends messages or messengers, I'm sorry, throughout the land of Israel, and he calls the Ephraimites. And the Ephraimites, they respond. They say, okay, yeah, we're down to fight. We'll go down there and we'll start fighting. But then after the battle, they get upset. And that's where we pick up this story here in verse number one. It says, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, that is Gideon, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou calledest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And did chide with him sharply. The word chide there just means to fight. So they're arguing. They're very upset at Gideon, right? So what do the Ephraimites want here? They wanted glory, because remember, they have a name in Israel because they are a very large tribe, right? And they wanted their name in lights. They wanted to have the most subscribers. They wanted to have the biggest influence. And here they see and they know that God's behind Gideon, and they're upset. They're like, well, why didn't you call us? Now look at verse 2. And this is how Gideon responds. He says, and he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? And so Gideon responds in a way that most of the time, most of us don't respond that way. You know, a lot of times when we get called up like that, we tend to take offense. We tend to take it personally, right? But we're going to learn here, and this is point number one. I want you to understand this here. The truth about us taking things personally really boils down to pride. That's what it boils down to. You see, Gideon here, if you read the beginning of the story, you go back and you read chapter 6, Gideon is found threshing wheat and trying to hide it from the Midianites. And God sends someone to him and says, hey, you're a mighty man of valor. And he just keeps saying like, oh, not me. Like, you know, I'm of the poor. He's like, you know, I don't have a lot of strength. I don't have a lot of this. But God says, no, you're a mighty man of valor. You're going to do great things for me. Right. But he never let that go to his head here. But what about the Ephraimites? Why didn't God call them? Why didn't they initially go up to Gideon and say, hey, we heard about this coming battle. We've heard that you've been fighting throughout all the land, because they obviously knew what was going on. Why didn't they come down to Gideon and say, hey, let's help you out. You know, let's fight with you. Well, I'll tell you why. Because they are full of pride. And here's an example. Proverbs 13:10, you don't have to turn there, but it says this, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So what do we have going on here in the first couple verses of Judges chapter 8? We have a contention. Now, if you were to read the law, right, is that the way that you're supposed to interact with your brethren? Not at all, right? But the Ephraimites, they obviously don't care. And so they come up to Gideon, hey, you should have called us. You should have let us know so that way we could have, you know, had the victory with you. But Gideon responds by just basically saying, hey, you know, the poorest part of the town that we conquered, or the poorest part of your town in Ephraim, isn't even as good as the best place that we just conquered. That's what it's like saying, hey, you know, somebody comes here from New York and they're like, you know what, our city's better than yours. And, you know, why didn't you call us to the soul winning marathon? And we said, you know what? The poorest place in New York City is better than the best place in Boise. That's basically how he responds. And that squashes the beef here. But look at verse number 3. It says this, God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. See, now that should speak volumes to all of us. You know, a lot of times an answer like this can placate somebody who takes things personally. But this all goes back to the bottom line. People that take things personally can't be trusted, and they're always full of anger. Why? Because you have to walk on eggshells around these people. You can't just go up to them, hey, you know, can you make some main dish for this baby shower? Can you make a main dish for this? Can you come clean the church? You know, can you help me do something? You never know how they're going to react, right? Because it's all about them. You see that with the Ephraimites, and you're going to see that this morning. Everything is about them. Now look at verse number 4. And it says, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. So Gideon here, he has this attitude that's just like, you know what? I have a mission from God. I know what the word of God says. I know what he expects of me. I know that I'm nothing. And so he doesn't let what the Ephraimites say to him, he doesn't let that bother him. You see that? He's not the one getting offended. What does he do? He just goes off and does the mission for God. He says, okay, I'm able to placate these people here for now. So I'm just going to go off and I'm going to do the will of God. And that should be our attitude when people offend us. That should be at least our first response. It doesn't always work this smoothly. And you're going to see that in our next illustration. And so what do we do about this, right? So we understand that the truth about taking things personally just boils down to pride. And so obviously the application here is this phrase. And if you can exercise this, this is going to help you out greatly. It's not about me. Okay. So this morning when I was downtown Boise driving on the street and that guy was swerving around and, you know, trying to get around me and just, you know, acting like a fool. You know, I remembered this point. I'm like, wait, it's not about me. Maybe he needs to get somewhere. Maybe he's late, whatever. And then once I literally thought like that in my mind, the anger left. And I was like, okay, it really works. So praise God, I was able to test this application out for you before I even preached it to you. And if you think about back in your life, everybody in here, you've all done this at some point, just maybe without even thinking about it. But sometimes being aware of this type of stuff can actually help you out, right? Because, you know, when you forget about stuff like this, or you're not, you know, regularly thinking about your character, you know, which is what we do a lot at church. The Bible says a lot about how we should live our lives, right? So that we can live peaceably among all men, you know, and when you have that stuff at the forefront of your mind, you know, it's easier for you to exercise that and to keep thinking about it. And so just remember that phrase, it's not about me. And when I was in the military, I remember this one very crazy inspection that we had. Now, I had shined my boots up real good, and they were looking good. And I was like, man, you know, I'm definitely not going to have any problems this morning during this inspection. And then the drill sergeant walks up to me and he starts yelling and screaming at me because he says that my boots are dirty. I'm like, man, you know, I started taking that personal. I'm like, wait a minute, I spent a lot of time on this. This, like, what are you doing? This is crazy here. And then you know what he does? He says, little midget in the woods. You know, it's a little exercise you got to do like this. It's jumping jacks that you do from down here. Right? Very difficult, you know, and very humiliating to do in front of 50 other people. And I'm like, man, you know, no wonder I have knee problems today, but you guys should try that after the service. But I was so mad. You know, I was like, you know, when I get out of here and this contract's up, if anybody talks to me like that, I'm just punching them right in the face. It's going down on me, you know. And so they didn't do me any favors. It just made me have to work 10 times harder to overcome that. But I did realize, you know, thinking about this in that moment, it wasn't about me. They were there to train you. You know, and they're just messing with you. That's, you know, once I finally realized that, like after week 7 and 8 and 9, I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, it's just how it is. You know, and you tell yourself that because you watch these movies, you know, about the military, and you're like, oh man, I want to do that someday. Turns out not to be. No, not cool. Not good. Not good at all. Turn to Judges chapter number 12. Judges chapter number 12. So anyways, when we go and we decide, you know what, I'm going to develop this attitude that it's not about me. So that person that says, hey, I want you to come over, and they keep canceling, you say, you know what? It's not about me. This person just has commitment problems. They just have some other issue. And you can think about that like that. You know what? That's just going to make your life so much better. Because remember, if we can learn how to not take things personally, then guess what? We are in control. Because when we're easily offended, right? I mean, think about it. Who's in control in this situation? The Ephraimites or Gideon? It's Gideon. It doesn't bother him at all. He's not losing sleep over it. He's not having that intense stomach churning that you all get when you're offended, right? When you're taking things personally. He's just like, whatever, man. I got my mission. I know what God says, and I'm going to go do that. So he's in control. And when you're in control, you can think clearer, you can work better, and you know what? That's when the blessings come. You can build. Right? The Ephraimites, they don't build anything. Okay? All they build is contention and trouble. And so just remember that. When we take this approach that it's not about me, it's going to really help you to not take things personally and to not get so offended over every little thing. Now, Judges chapter 12. So after the death of Gideon, the process of time, you know how the story goes. Some other judges rise up, they die. Other judges come in, they take over. Children of Israel decide, you know what, we're not going to follow the Lord. A judge comes and saves them out of their trouble. And they say, okay, we're good now. We're going to follow the Lord. And then they say, oh, you know what, this is getting old. You know, we're going to go back and just worship these false gods. And it's just this roller coaster of, yes, we'll obey. No, we won't. Yes, we will. No, we won't. Well, we come to a story about another judge named Jephthah. And Jephthah was a mighty man. But the problem was he was the son of a harlot, the Bible says, okay? And so because of that, as he was growing up, his father obviously married another woman and they had children and they grew up not liking Jephthah. They said, you know what, you're just not exactly like us. And so they kicked him out of town. They basically said, we don't want you around here, get lost. But because Jephthah was a mighty man of valor, the Bible says that when the children of Israel realized that they were sick and tired of being under oppression, they said, you know what, we're going to go back and find Jephthah because at least he was a good, strong guy and a good leader, and we'll have him rule over us. We'll have him deliver us. So they go solicit Jephthah. There's battles. You know, he's starting to do a good job and to lead the armies and defeat the enemy. And the children of Israel are starting to see that they're going to come out of oppression. But he does a very foolish thing in chapter number 11. He decides, you know what, I'm going to make a vow, okay? So Jephthah makes this vow and says, when I return home from battle, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'm going to offer up to the Lord. And if you did, you know, you've read the book of Judges, you know what comes next. Who came out the front door? Right. She swung open that big double door. No, I'm just kidding. She basically comes out, right? And his heart sinks because he just made this vow that he can't go back on, that he would offer up the first thing that came out of his home and happened to be his daughter. And so the Bible says at the end of chapter 11 that he follows through with his vow, and all the children of Israel, they lament and they make a basically like a holiday after that, you know, basically commemorating his daughter. And we're going to read something here in verse number 1. So after that vow, right, this is what happens to Jephthah, the mighty man of valor. Now, Jephthah's not quite like Gideon. He's mighty. He's a good leader. He's a good warrior. But the Bible says that he attracted light and vain persons. So that kind of tells you how he was. You ever wonder why all the preppy and, you know, the buff guys at school always hung out together? You know, that's kind of what you're dealing with here with Jephthah. He was kind of one of those guys, okay? So Judges chapter 12, look at verse 1. Notice this. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go down with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Sound familiar? So in Judges chapter 8, they were just mad, and they just started bickering and arguing with Gideon. Now they're a little bit more emboldened. Now they're like, you know what? We're sick and tired of having our name, right, not called upon. And by the way, there's probably a good reason for that, because people that are easily offended can't be trusted and they can't control their anger. Okay? So they come up to Jephthah after he has to fulfill the vow that he made. So now we have a situation of bad timing. And they say, you know what? Because you didn't call us to fight, and we like to fight, and we like to have our name and glory, and we like to get a lot of subscribers, a lot of views, a lot of clicks, we're going to burn you down. We're going to burn your house down. We're going to burn you. Basically, we're going to kill you. Now, Jephthah doesn't necessarily respond in the best manner, but he doesn't just take up to arms right away. But let me make one more point here. You know, it's a lot easier. Let me put it this way. We're more susceptible to take things personal and to be easily offended right after we've gone through a situation of stress, especially stress that we've created ourselves. You make a bad decision, and all of a sudden somebody comes up to you, you know, you got to watch yourself because you're probably going to act like Jeff is going to act here. You're probably going to be on edge, taking things personally, being defensive, right? And this is where you're going to have to muster up the strength and the courage to rein yourself back into that attitude that says, you know what, it's not about me. I messed up. I take responsibility for my own actions, and I'm going to get through this, okay? Now, look at verse number 2. It says this, and Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And notice this, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. You see, people that take things personally, I'm talking about people now that are like in this rut. Like they have a habit of doing this. Like you look at somebody and you're like, you just take everything personally. Like that's who you are. That's how the Ephraimites were, right? They can't see the situation for what it is, right? This goes right over their heads because Jephthah did call them and they didn't come. And they say, why didn't you call us? And what I want you to do right now is just think of people that you know that are highly defensive, that are always taking things personal, right? Just think about those people. And you're going to see at some point of your knowing those people or being that yourself, that you've been blinded, you've overlooked things, right? People come up and they say things to you and you just can't receive it. It just goes right over your head or you see things the way you want to because it's all about you. And that's how the Ephraimites are here. So here's the second point that I want to make. And it's this. Many times we take things personally because we are in the habit of leaving things undone. Think about this. Judges chapter 7. Gideon does call the Ephraimites. But what were they doing prior to that? Were they doing work? Were they concerned about the welfare of Israel? Were they concerned about following the Lord? No, they weren't. It wasn't until they heard what was going on, it wasn't until Gideon sent the messengers to them, that they're like, oh, wait, there's an opportunity to shine? I can actually, you know, get on TikTok or Twitter here and really get a name and get on the news? It wasn't until then that they decided, you know what, we're going to get up and fight. And it's the same thing here. Jephthah says, hey, I did call you, and you did not respond. You did not come, so I had to take care of business by myself with my men. So you see a pattern here with the Ephraimites? They have the habit of leaving things undone. And I'm telling you, people that are habitually taking things personal can't be trusted because they can't control their anger. They can't be trusted because you cannot rely on them. Think about some of the people that had very bad intentions when they first came to this church. They would always come up to me, hey, I would like to count the money. Hey, I would like to stand at the door. Hey, I would like to do this, do that, do this, and do these other things as well. I'd say, okay, cool, you know? And then they just wouldn't do it. And it's like, what? Why did you even bring it up? Right? How about our old song leader, for example? Right? Remember when Brother Jeff moved here and decided, you know what? I could sing. I don't ever want to see you up there attempting to sing again, Pastor. So I'll be the song leader. I didn't take that personal. No. Look, it is what it is. I can't sing. It's fine. So he says, you know what? I'm going to learn to do that. So we started, you know, mixing him in during the song time. Well, we happened to have a guest preacher that came by, you know, Pastor Thompson. And he said, hey, I'm going to be there that Friday and I'm going to do the songs. Our whole family's coming. That's what they told me. I had this little feeling inside that said, you know, it's not going to happen. And they did not come that evening after telling me specifically the word. Brother Jeff did the songs and it was like, we didn't skip a beat. Nobody knew any different. It looked planned. But I heard later on that week that they were going up to people saying, how was the music on Friday? You know, like they really got us. Right? Well, we really stuck it to Shield of Faith Baptist Church, didn't we? See, that's what I'm talking about. Those types of people are out there. Those people are Ephraimites. They had a habit of leaving things undone. But you know what? They were always offended, weren't they? At everything. Oh, you preach that against me. No, actually, I preach that for somebody that doesn't even go to this church that needs help that I know watches our channel.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. We only have so many people in this church, you know? So some of these other churches, you know, they get big problems, they call or they tag them, like, that's a good idea. I'm gonna write that down and preach a sermon about that. People, you preach that against me. How come it's okay to put my sins on blast but not other people's? We all have sins. What are you talking about?
Amen.
Get out of here. So many times we take things personally because we're in the habit of leaving things undone. And that's why the Ephraimites are offended here. That's why they have the reputation of taking things personally, because they know they are not doing the things that they are supposed to be doing. And when an opportunity passes by for them to actually shine in the eyes of the Lord, they get mad because they don't want to acknowledge the fact that they are lazy and they are unreliable. Look at verse 3. So this is Jephthah also speaking. He says this, "And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me?" That's a pretty good question. And it also tells us that the Ephraimites didn't just come down to argue. Remember, they said, "We're going to burn you and your house. We're going to burn everything you have." Right? And he says, "Why are you here?" Jephthah's like, "Why are you here to fight against me? It's your fault. Can't you see that?" And no, they can't see that, because they only see things through the lens that they've built, which is basically, it's all about me. That's why they can't see this. Look at verse number four. "Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said," so this is very important here to understand the story. Okay, why does this fight actually happen? Well, the Bible tells us right here. It says this. Let me back up for a second here. "And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, 'Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites.'" So like I said at the beginning of the sermon, you know, there's a time to get offended. And I'll be honest with you, this here isn't it. Jephthah should have taken the approach, or at least attempted a better approach, kind of like Gideon did. I'm not saying it would have worked, because these guys are pretty hostile right now. But it would have been better than what winds up happening next, which is an in-house fight. Is this how we're supposed to treat our brethren? You take things personal. Now we're dealing with a group of people who are both taking things personally. Right? Jephthah is like, "All right, I'm going to kill you guys. I'm going to fight you." And why? All because they said, because the Ephraimites said this, "You Gileadites are fugitives among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites." So the Ephraimites come down and say, "We're going to burn you." And Jephthah calls them out on their crap. And guess what? They're like, "You guys are weak. Your mom's fat. Your dad's ugly. And all your siblings are midgets. And you guys stutter. Right? Oh, and you mixed up your words too. Don't forget that. You got a couple of words. You mixed up the thee and the thou. And I just want you to know that you did that. Yeah. You got your stories crossed. You mixed up Ahab and Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. You did. You messed up. Yeah. See, people that are always in this rut of just never taking responsibility for their actions or their mistakes, right? They don't like it when you call them out. But, you know, part of me just wants to sympathize with Jephthah, especially after the vow that he made. You know, it was definitely bad timing to have these guys come down and say, "We're going to burn you up." But they pushed him over the edge just by words. What do you think God thinks about the situation here? Was this legit? Could you justify this? Not at all. They weren't supposed to go around killing each other, especially over words. Look at verse number 5. "And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, 'Let me go over,' that the men of Gilead said unto him, 'Art thou an Ephraimite?' If he said, 'Nay,' then," look at verse 6, "then said they unto him, 'Say now Shibboleth.' And he said, 'Sibboleth,' for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. So here's the deal. The cost of taking things personally always results in loss. That's what that resulted in. So you got two groups of people here. Now, I wouldn't say that Jephthah is necessarily easily offended. He's having a bad time, but he does take it personally. And we know, one thing that we do know about him is that he was a little bit vain, because vain and light persons flock to him. Right? So he doesn't have that characteristic that Gideon had. He doesn't have that, you know what, it's not all about me. Once they say that about his heritage, about his ethnicity, he takes offense to that. And what was the result? Death, destruction. This is how we kill our marriages. This is how we kill our relationships. This is how we kill our friendships. This is how we kill everything, all of our opportunities, is by falling into this rut where we just take everything personally and we don't grow from our mistakes. There's no growth here. They're supposed to be fighting the enemies. These tribes in Israel right now, they're not supposed to be fighting. Show me in the law where it says, you know what, somebody says this to you in church, you slap them. Sometimes you may want to, and I get that, I understand that, but you know, I'm just kidding. Turn to 2 Chronicles 25. 2 Chronicles 25. And so again, many times we take things personally because we are in the habit of leaving things undone. This is naturally going to follow people that take things personally and can't get over it. They have a habit of leaving things undone, and they, you know what, why not? Because you're the type of person, obviously, that just can't own up to your mistakes. You can't own up to what you're not doing. So you never grow. And all of a sudden, you just build your own reality. And you expect everyone else to fit inside of that reality. And that's not how life works. So we're going to move on here. 2 Chronicles chapter number 25. So we're going to talk about a king. And this king's name is Amaziah. And he took over after Joash. And this king, he starts off well. So he's 25 years old when he begins to reign over Judah. Okay, and so we're a long time in the future now. Okay, so at this point in time, Israel is no longer the Israel that we were reading about. So Israel has basically been split into two. You have what's called the Northern Kingdom. They have all their kings. They have their own capital, which is Samaria now. And their kings are all wicked. They're all evil. And then you have the Southern Kingdom of Judah, which is made up of primarily Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. Okay. And the king over Judah now is a man named Amaziah. So he's 25 years old. He's taking the helm. He reigns for 29 years. And the Bible says he does right in the eyes of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. We don't have time to get into that, but basically the end of his life is bad. Things do not work out very well for him. Now, the situation here is that Joash basically left Amaziah a mess, right? You know the story. It's really the same thing that's going on in Judges. They're being oppressed by the enemy. They're trying to get out. Amaziah, you know, he starts off great. He's like, okay, we're going to follow the Lord. And he's trying to bring Judah back to the Lord. And he wants to fight the enemy, but he realizes that their numbers are down. They don't have the strength. They don't have the same might that they did. So he gets it into his mind, you know what? Well, we're going to follow the Lord, but we're also going to hire mercenaries, right? And so he goes up to Israel. He goes up there to hire, 100,000? Oh, I'm sorry, maybe it was 300,000. No, it was 100,000 men. That's right. He goes and he hires 100,000 men, we'll just call them mercenaries, from Israel. Now, remember, they're a separate nation at this time. Obviously, they're still Israel, but they have their own king. They're not following God. God is angry at the northern kingdom of Israel. And so God sends Amaziah a prophet. And this prophet tells him, hey, you know, the Lord's going to help you. He's going to be with you in battle. He's going to deliver the enemy into your hand. But you need to get rid of these 100,000 guys that you just hired. And Amaziah is like, wait a minute, man. I just paid these guys 100 talents of silver. What do I do about the money? And he's like, look, God's able to give you much more than this. Get rid of them. Okay. And so we're going to pick up the story right after that said, verse number 10, 2 Chronicles 25. Look at verse 10. So after hearing that, it says this, then Amaziah separated them to wit the army that was come to him out of where? Out of Ephraim to go home again. What do you think is going to happen here? Yeah, that's right. Trouble. To go home again. Wherefore, their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Look, it's like an iron prison. When you are literally the type of person, everything bothers you, everything offends you, because it's all about you. It's literally like being in a prison. I mean, these people have not figured it out after all these years. I mean, after going through King David, in that stuff and going through Solomon and all his wisdom. They never learned the truth. They never were able to say, you know what? Maybe it's us, okay? Maybe the problem's us. I mean, this is the third time we're reading this. These things are in the Bible for a reason, so that we don't follow the same path. Look at verse 13. Jump down to verse 13 real quick. I want to just show you this here. So obviously the Ephraimites, you know they're upset. They're mad. Verse 13, but the soldiers of the army, which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them and took much spoil. So the Ephraimites here, they couldn't see the blessing that the prophet spoke to Amaziah. The Ephraimites should have said, you know what? Maybe if we do go to battle, maybe a lot of us will perish. Right. You know, go show me a soldier today. Well, never, let me take that back. Most soldiers today, most people in the military today, when they know that they're about to deploy and go overseas for like a year or however long it is, and they have families, that's very hard on them. But here you got a nation of Ephraimites. They're just like, look, we don't care about any of that. We just want to go. Right now, you take somebody who's told, you know what, you're going to go to the Middle East for a year, and all of a sudden that changes, and say you're not leaving, they would most likely be grateful, because now I get to spend time with my family, I get to get off of work at night, I get to do some things in my own life, right? But the Ephraimites, they were like, no, we have to get the subscribers, right? We have to get the recognition. That's all that they cared about. They couldn't see that, look, this could have been a blessing. But then when you realize what's going on in Israel, it makes sense because the prophet told Amaziah, the Lord is not with them, which is also a good lesson for us. You know, when you surround yourself with people that are going against God, going against what he wants for you, you know what? The Lord's not with them, people. They will drag you down every single time. You will adopt their mannerisms and you will adopt their behaviors. It is a fact. Evil communications corrupt good manners. This is fact. This is truth. There is no arguing. Oh, what about? No. It is what it is. That's what the Bible says. And you can find that principle from the front of the Bible all the way to the very end of the Bible. So here's the third point that I want to make. The other side of the coin is that sometimes we need to take things personally. In this situation, the Ephraimites should have said, you know what? We do need to take this personally, meaning we need to take this to heart. So maybe you hear a sermon that steps on your toes, strikes a nerve, right? You need to stop. Just stop for a second and be like, wait a second. Why does this bother me? Why is this starting to offend me? And just think. Just judge yourself. I know the world's out. Don't judge, don't judge. But the Bible says that the spiritual judgeth all things. You have to have righteous judgment. Using your measuring stick here, the Bible, the Word of God. And when you can do that, you're not going to be like an Ephraimite. You can actually learn. You can change. It can happen. Unless you want to stay in this cycle of it's all about me. It's all about my glory, my pride, my trophies, my medals, my millions of dollars, my picture in the newspaper, my Twitter account, my followers. Right? So when somebody, you know, especially, you know, in a couple Sundays from now when Brother Jeff and David get up here and they step on your toes, you know, and you feel that burning in your stomach, you know, take that to heart. I know they're going to preach against me because I'm gone. I won't let it offend me, okay? I'm gonna try to the best I can to follow this. I'm going to do the other side of the coin and realize, you know what, sometimes we need to take things personally. Obviously, we need to take the Word of God personally. We need to take that to heart. And when you're reading the Bible and it's like calling you out, let that offend you. Let that bother you. And use that energy to change and do what is right. Amen. Look at verse 11. Back up to verse number 11. So here's what Amaziah does. Again, not the greatest king that ever ruled Israel by by any means. But here's what he does after this fiasco. After he understands that the Ephraimites are angry, they're upset. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote the children of Seir 10,000. So because he realizes at this moment in his life, it's not about me, it's about what the Lord wants, it's about what the prophet told me, he goes and he does the proper thing. He strengthens himself. And he is able to get the victory. He's able to kill 10,000. What did the Ephraimites do? Well, they went down to Judah, which are still their brethren, and slew 3,000 of them. Again, in-house fighting. This is what these types of people do. They just leave this, you know, I'm offended over everything. I'm going to take everything personally. This is what they do. They destroy. If they refuse to change, they will eventually destroy. They'll come in, they will destroy churches. They will cause church splits. They will destroy marriages. They will destroy your friendships, destroy opportunities, and you know the rest from there. Look at verse number 12. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them unto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they were all broken in pieces. Yeah, that's tough. You know what? But that's what the Bible says they did. Did they have to? Now, you're not going to find that in the law. They should have just, you know, killed them right there. But they were like, we're going to make an example out of these people and put them to flight. You ever heard that saying, you know, I'm going to put you to flight? That's where it comes from. Turn to Psalm 119. We're almost done. I'm going to wrap this thing up. We are almost done. So again, it all boils down to this. People that are easily offended cannot be trusted, and they cannot control their anger. They cannot control their tempers. So I said point number one is the truth about us taking things personally really just boils down to pride. How do we deal with that? What are we going to do about that? We're going to adopt this mindset like Gideon had, which says, you know what? It's not about me. The guy behind me just swerving around, wanting to get around me. You know what? It's not about me. It's about him. Trust me. Test this out later. It will alleviate that burning anger in your stomach. I promise. It works. Okay. And then the second point that I had this morning was this. Many times we take things personally because we're in the habit of leaving things undone. And that's the end goal. When you leave this thing unchecked, you decide, I'm not going to change. You will start to leave things undone because you're prideful. Your boss tells you to go do something. You're like, I shouldn't have to do that. I wasn't hired to sweep the floors. I was hired to work on the computer. And I'm not doing that. You would be much better off, though, right, just doing what he says. Because then he's going to be like, oh, okay, well, did a good job. And then the story is going to increase from there. You know, he'll give you more responsibility or whatever. When he sees that that doesn't offend you, because some bosses, they know that you're a Christian. They know that you follow the Lord, and they're going to try to dig. They're going to try to get you. Right? But when you say, you know what? It's not about me. It's because they hate the Lord. It's because they don't like my Christianity. Right? Now you're in control. And that's the whole goal here. To put you in the driver's seat. Because when you let them get to you, they control you. And when they control you, you don't go out and kill 10,000 of the enemies. And obviously, the weapons of warfare today are not carnal. I'm not endorsing killing people. I'm just simply saying you're not going to knock that many doors. You're not going to get that many gospel presentations, all because you're offended. And you're the type of person that's easily offended. Psalm 119, look at verse 165. Psalm 119, 165. We are almost done. I love this verse here. Psalm 119 is all about the Bible. And this is a great verse. Psalm 119, verse 165 says this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This is the vision. This is the whole reason that I'm preaching this sermon. You say, I struggle with this. Start reading the Bible. Amen. Force yourself to. You can do it. You have enough time. Don't say that you don't. You have to read the Bible every single day. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that God told them, he says, hey, when you guys decide, you know what, that you don't like the system that I've developed for you and you want to choose you a king, make sure he writes himself a copy of this law and reads it every single day, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. And one thing that we all know for sure in this church is that when people are not reading their Bibles and they do not read at all, they start to get lifted up with pride. Because they'll read books about the Bible. They'll watch tons of sermons on the internet, right? And then they become an auditor. And then they start sending emails and text messages and phone calls. Hey, why did you mix those words up? Why was your second point so long? You didn't give me enough time to write my points down. Did you read the Bible at all today? Because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, there's some people that just love us, and they're like, hey, but I just want to let you know that the audio's messed up, and, you know, so don't get the wrong idea here, okay? But basically, the idea is this, right? We need to apply these tactics in our lives. Imagine what this church will continue to be like when we adopt this mindset. You know what? We're not going to take things personally, the wrong things personally, right? Friendships improve. The fellowship improves, which means the church improves, right? Because look, the goal for this church is not to have 300, 400, 500 people here just so we can say we've got all these people here. That's an Ephraimite church. We don't need that. I would much rather be part of a smaller church like this where everybody loves the Lord and we all have empathy one toward another. We're not getting offended and having to walk on eggshells. I would much rather have that, much rather have that. And this is why these types of things have to be preached consistently so that as we grow, we don't adopt that mindset. Right? And think about the work that we've already done. We're knocking doors in towns a lot of people don't even know exist. We're getting people saved all over the place. Right? But the Ephraimite church down there that hates my guts, Mr. Gip, what are they doing? They hear that we knock doors and, oh, he's hateful. Hey, we got some people saved. Oh, you're angry. They can't see reality for what it is. Why? Because they don't work. It's all about them. You say, oh, you're trying to rag on them. No, I'm just pointing out a fact to you. Don't let this offend you. Don't take it personally. It is what it is. We need to keep it this way. So marriages, friendships, church, everything improves when we adopt this mindset. You know what? It's not about me. And then when things do strike that nerve, and you know, and then your conscience tells you, hey, that's you. That's you, boy. You need to change. And you say, you got me. You got me. And you make that change, you will be a better person. I'm not talking about just being a great church member. These things go hand in hand. You're going to be a better worker, a better husband, a better father, a friend. Everything improves when you adopt this mindset. It's not about me. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for these stories in the Bible, Lord, and just that we could study them and glean just great wisdom from the truths in your word. Just pray, Lord, that you would help our church to be filled with members, Lord, that would always love you and be able to support one another and not to just be offended at every little thing, Lord, but to take to heart the things that you have written down and have expected of us. And we love you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.